The grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed in Christ, for our midweek Advent services, the theme is Jesus comes to us. Since Advent is that time during the church year where we focus on the coming of Christ, this is a good time to remind ourselves that it is not we who first came to Jesus, but rather it was Jesus who took the initiative and first came to us. For the Bible tells us that it was not he who was lost, but us. In other words, we did not go looking for him, but rather he came looking for us. We were the lost ones. We were the ones who needed to be found. But Jesus said, I have come to seek and to save the lost. This is good news, for it tells us that Jesus left everything to find you. And he did find you. He came to you. You did not come to him. You could not come to him, for, says St. Paul in the book of Ephesians, you were dead in trespasses and sins. But when Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life, found you, he redeemed you by means of his own blood shed for you on the cross, and he raised you up, bringing you from death to life. Here, getting the order right of who comes to whom is very important. For if we get it wrong, then we are forced to toil under the delusion that God loves us because we first loved him. And this is a terrible proposition and a crushing mental weight that is too heavy to bear. For truly, if that's how things are, then how could we ever know if we've loved God enough to earn his favor? Truly, we could never know such a thing. And it's the not knowing that's the problem. For uncertainty brings not peace, but turmoil to the soul and trouble to the conscience. Thankfully, however, that is not how things work between us and God, for he is the one who first loved us and first came to us. Because he has done this, we realize that he doesn't love us because we first loved him, but rather we realize that we love him because he first loved us. And what a wonderfully freeing reality this is. Or here, when you realize that his love for you is not dependent upon your love for him, your conscience can rest in peace, knowing that despite yourself, God, for the sake of Christ, has always loved you and always will. By this, then, you find that you are free to love him simply because he first loved you. Jesus said to his disciples in John's Gospel, you did not choose me, but I chose you. For us Lutherans, these words give us great comfort and assurance of our salvation, for we understand these words in light of John's epistle, where he tells us that Jesus is the propitiation, that is, the payment for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now, this means that God chose for all people, for all time, that the sins of the whole world would be paid for by the sacrifice of his Son Jesus on the cross, when he, at the fullness of time, came to us in the flesh. Here, unfortunately, this good news still does not bring much comfort to many Christians, for the inevitable question to many, nonetheless, is, but not all people will be saved. How then can I know that Jesus, in fact, chose me personally? To answer this, we turn to St. Peter's Pentecost sermon from Acts chapter 2, where he says that by means of holy baptism, we can know for certain that God has called us to himself. Now, given this, our desire is to ask those dear Christians who doubt whether Christ chose them or not, have you received a baptism in God's name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Yes? Then be encouraged. For here, in holy baptism, God has marked you as his child, given you his own name, given you his Holy Spirit, and his promise that on the last day he will raise you from the grave to eternal life, and so much more. Here then, by this, God's gift of grace, you can know that you know that you know that Jesus chose you. And with this comes his promise, I will never leave you nor forsake you. In the solas of the Reformation, we confess that we are saved 100% by God's works and 0% by our own works, so that 100% of the glory goes to God and 0% of the glory goes to us. Here we remind ourselves, then, that the entirety of the Christian life is merely an expression of thanksgiving to him for all he has already done for us, whereby we love him by loving our neighbors as ourselves. Here, then, we see and understand rightly that we cannot come to Jesus until he first comes to us. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, this evening our scripture readings remind us that Jesus came to us by promise, that he still comes to us by promise, and that he also came to us by means of his incarnation. For Advent 2, we will hear how Jesus comes to us also by his word and sacraments. And for Advent 3, we will hear how Jesus ultimately will come to us in glory, at which time he will graciously take us from this valley of sorrows to himself in heaven. In closing, let's consider King David in Psalm 132, wherein we are reminded of his zeal for the Lord. If you recall, from the time that David was anointed as king, as a shepherd boy, to the time when he actually sat upon the throne as king, that was a time period of about 15 years. And during those 15 years, David's life was not easy. He had been counted as an enemy of the state, and he lived like an animal in the wilderness, being hunted by King Saul. It was during this tumultuous time in his life that David wrote his infamous Psalms of Lament, where he cried out to God things like, my God, why have you forsaken me? Here, essentially, David was saying, you promised, O God, you promised that I would be king, and yet I am certain that I will not live to see tomorrow. Where are you? Where are you? Where are you? In this evening's psalm, we are reminded that things have now changed for David for the better. All of that suffering is over. King Saul is now dead. David has been vindicated and rightfully crowned king. David is stunned at the sudden turn of events, and he is almost embarrassed that he ever doubted God's promise. And looking back at all that the Lord has brought him through, he is overcome with emotion. His heart wants to burst with thanksgiving and praise to God, for God has made good on his promise. David could not see it at the time, but he sees it now. And now, as a result, David's faith in God is greatly strengthened. And he prayed to God, basically saying, I will build you, O Lord, a house, a temple worthy of your name, that will be the envy of all the kingdoms of the world. But if you recall, what was God's response to all this enthusiasm? God basically said to David, David, did I ask for any of this? Seriously, you are going to build me a house? The universe itself cannot contain me. What could you ever build that I would want or need? Instead, David, here is a better idea. I, the Lord your God, will build you a house, a sure and eternal house that will stand forever. He will be my promised Messiah, the Christ, whom I promised to give to Adam and Eve and to all humanity from since the beginning of time. He will crush Satan's head and bring eternal peace to all nations. He himself will be the eternal house of the Lord, and he will be the one of the sons of your body. I will set him upon your throne, and his kingdom will have no end. Here, Jesus came to David and to us and to all people for all time again by means of God's promise. And when God, who cannot lie, makes a promise, it is something that is so certain, so trustworthy, it is counted as if it is already done. And truly, from God's perspective, who stands outside the boundaries of time and space, for him, his promises, all of them, have been fulfilled from even before the beginning of time, even before that time when he created all things. But for us, time-bound creatures who must patiently wait as years tick slowly by, for us, centuries pass, and still we wait. And we cry out, "How long, O Lord, when will we see your promises come to pass?" And time comes and time goes. Generations rise and fall. The saints who hoped against hope now sleep in their graves, having never seen God's promises come to pass. And yet, one day, the promise of the Messiah did come to pass. Now, it's true that we are still waiting for the promise of his return, but for now, let's focus on the promise of the Christ, for it is that time of year wherein we remind ourselves of that time when it came to pass, or at least came very close to coming to pass. For even here in this evening's gospel text, Jesus has not yet been born. But the time of his coming to us by means of his incarnation is quickly approaching, for listen to the angel's conversation with Mary. The promise is followed up with a promise that the time for the fulfillment of God's promise is really, really close. The text reads as follows. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." So far the text. So at Christmas, we will celebrate our Savior's birth and the fulfillment of God's promises and rejoice with great joy that he came to us as one of us, and that because he did, we have been saved from the curse of sin, death, and the devil. Because of Jesus coming to us by means of promise and incarnation, we are forgiven, and heaven is ours, and this is the perfect Christmas. gift. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus, even to life everlasting. Amen.